This is the Estate Planning and Elder Law Hour with Skip Reynolds, where we dive into wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and so much more. Now, here's your host, Skip Reynolds.
Welcome, everybody, to the Estate Planning and Elder Law Hour with me, Skip Reynolds. Thanks so much for joining me this Saturday afternoon. Thank you so much for joining me. Hopefully, you're having a great day so far. So, as I do at the beginning of every show, those of you who listen regularly, you've heard this before. But for those of you who might be hearing my voice for the very first time, the reason that I do the Estate Planning and Elder Law Hour is that what I found in my office is that there are so many people that come in and they've made unintentional mistakes surrounding their estate plan because they were taking advice from their friend, their coworker, their neighbor, the newspaper, whatever they got their information from, and they took bits and pieces and they put it all together, as we do with so many things in our life, and they put it together and they say, these are the facts and I'm making this decision based on these facts. But unfortunately, sometimes what happens is that the facts that we have are not full facts. It's a half a fact and another half a fact and another half a fact, and we put them all together in this ball of fact, and then we make these decisions. And unfortunately, we make these decisions and we're trying to achieve one result and maybe blind to other results that could happen from this choice that we made that may be worse than the choice that we made and the consequence we were trying to avoid with that choice. And so the reason I do this show is so that you have more information, so you make better choices for you and for your family, because at the end of the day, estate planning is all about our family. It's about our family taking care of us while we're here and alive and maybe can't take care of ourselves for some reason. And it's about how we want to take care of our family when we're not here any longer and how we distribute our estate, whatever that might be for you. That's why I do this show. So you have more choices, so your family has more choices, and you have more control both alive and after death. All right, so I want to kind of get into what today's show is all about. Today I've got Brett Padilla with me. He is an insurance broker who specializes in Medicare. And so I want to introduce Brett. Brett, thanks so much for being on the show here.
Thanks for having me, Skip. Happy to be here.
And, you know, just to kind of fill people in on who you are, what you do, Brett, because I think Medicare is kind of an obtuse thing for many of us out here, including myself. So kind of fill me in on what is your background and what do you do?
Yeah, definitely. So just to tell a little bit about myself, I'm from Trinidad, Colorado, which is a little small town in southern Colorado. I graduated with a bachelor's from the University of Colorado Boulder. So we were just talking a little bit about college football here. And then moved down to Denver in 2003 after I graduated. I've been licensed in the insurance industry for 16 years. So I've done everything from home, auto insurance, supplemental health, and health insurance, but primarily over the last 10 years, I've been focused in the Medicare space. I love the industry, love helping seniors navigate the different plans, and it's really one of the most rewarding and personal experiences for a lot of people because it's one of the most important issues as they age is their healthcare.
Sure, absolutely. Well, and I think a lot of people, you know, they know about Medicare, but, you know, there is something going on here this month of September. What's going on in September surrounding Medicare?
Yeah, definitely. So September 15th begins National Medicare Education Week. And so that falls 1 month before the annual Medicare open enrollment period, which begins October 15th. So in Medicare, October 15th to December 7th is the time of year that everybody in Medicare has the opportunity to change health Medicare health plans or enroll into a Medicare health plan for the first time.
Gotcha. So this is the time frame of the year where you're the busiest.
Absolutely. Yeah, we're really gearing up right now in October. All of the plans are actually released October 1st for the public to start viewing. So everybody has their 2019 benefits essentially released to them October 1st, and then they can look around, see what health plan that they're on, how their plan maybe will change from this year to next year. And then going into open enrollment, they can investigate the other plans and see if they want to make a change or if they just missed out in enrolling into a plan in the first place. Some people, you know, maybe procrastinated and missed the deadline and they only have Medicare Part A and B, which I think we'll get into a little bit. And that's their time of year to enroll into a plan maybe for the first time.
Sure. So talk to me about what if somebody does miss the enrollment period? Let's say they missed it last year or they wanted to change their plan, but you know, life got in the way, something happened, and they never got to it. I mean, what are the consequences of not enrolling? Let's say I'm turning 65 this year. What are the consequences of me not enrolling in Medicare, if any?
Yeah, so we should probably talk a little bit about the enrollment period. So, you know, when they first turn 65 for the first time, they have their initial enrollment period into Medicare. And so that's the 7 months around their birth month. So when they first turn 65, some people can be on disability and be on Medicare and be younger than 65, but primarily it's for age 65. So they have the 3 months before their birth month and then their birth month and 3 months after to enroll for the first time. Now, if they miss that deadline, then they really only have the open enrollment period, which is October 15th to December 7th, to enroll into a plan. And so that's the period of time where you have to enroll, and that is effective for a January 1st effective date. And if once they pass that, essentially, and you get into the middle of the year, you can't change plans or you can't enroll into a Medicare plan other than supplements. Medicare Advantage and Part D, you can only enroll into during the Medicare open enrollment period.
Gotcha. But Part A and Part B, I mean, that's the main Medicare, from my understanding. We'll talk about that more here coming up. But if I don't sign up for those, am I automatically enrolled, or how does that work?
No. So good question. So when you first turn 65, you'll get Medicare Part A, but you have to go actively sign up for your Medicare Part B. So everybody that is getting close to turning 65, you will sign up for your Medicare Part B with Social Security. Now, if somebody's actually drawing their Social Security benefit checks already, they will actually assume that you're going to take Medicare. The federal government assumes you're going to take it at age 65. And so they'll actually just send them their Medicare card with their A and B effective onto it. That person that gets that card, that means the government's basically auto-enrolled them onto Medicare. And there's nothing that they need to do. They're already in the system. And then they can go investigate what Medicare health plan that they maybe want to go on to cover additional benefits. Now, the person that
but
delays...
that's only somebody who's taking it prior to or at 65.
Exactly, yeah. So the person that is delaying due to a number of reasons, maybe they're just delaying their Social Security benefits so that they get a bigger check as they get into later years, that person has to actively go enroll into Medicare. And they have to go to Social Security or sign up on socialsecurity.gov before they turn 65 and request for them to start their Medicare Part B. And that allows them into the Medicare system and then allows them to enroll into the different Medicare health plans that are out there. They have to have Medicare A and B in order to get the other Medicare health plans that we'll kind of get into.
Okay, and that goes back to that. The 3 months before your birthday, the month of your birthday, and then the 3 months after, that's that initial period where you got to go to socialsecurity.gov and sign up for A and B at a minimum.
Exactly right. So if they haven't gone into Social Security within that 7 month window, then they're in a tougher position because there's only one time of year that they can actually sign up for their Medicare if they miss that period of time. And it's actually called the general enrollment period. So it gets a little convoluted, but they have to go in to Social Security between January and March 31st, and then they request to start their Medicare Part B, but then it's not effective until July. And so that person can go a year or a year and a half, sometimes I've seen, where they go with really no insurance through that period of time. So you really need to be on top of your time periods.
Yeah, talk about cross your fingers. So what if I'm still working, though? Yeah, so many people still are working because, you know, nowadays the full retirement age for Social Security is 66, 66 and a half, 67, whatever it might be for the individuals out there. What if I'm still working? How does that work with Medicare? Do I need to go on and do anything with Part A and B?
Yeah, good question. So if you have current group coverage and you're still working, often there's not anything that you need to do. So if you're with, you know, a pretty big employer and they're providing coverage for you while you're still working, you're essentially what's called delaying your Medicare. And so you're delaying it past age 65. And then that person, once they retire, most of the time, they will go on to Medicare and lose their group coverage once they retire.
Sure.
And so that grants them a special election period. Essentially, they get a form signed from their employer stating that they were covered the entire time that they've been 65. They take that to Social Security, and Social Security starts up their Medicare the next month after their coverage ends is the ideal way to do it.
So they're not penalized for having this separate coverage. Mm-hmm. Now, what if you wanted to have Medicare and your coverage through work? Can you do that?
So normally you wouldn't be double covered because you would be double paying. So one thing to note is Medicare Part B does have a monthly premium associated with it. And so the base premium for 2018 is $134 per month. And so that generally will come right out of their Social Security check each and every month before it ever hits their account. So they have to pay that Part B premium in order to be in the Medicare system. And so there is a cost associated with being in the Medicare system. Now, if they're not drawing Social Security benefits, you're paying that Part B premium to the federal government directly. So they're actually paying that directly just to be in the Medicare system. Now, somebody that has coverage through work, often they're getting money drawn out of their paycheck for them to pay for a health plan. So usually it doesn't make sense to have both. However, and now this day and age, I've seen very often that employers are cost shifting more and more money that out of pocket to the employee. And so sometimes you can have the situation where the employee is getting $300-$400 a month out of their paycheck to pay for a pretty mediocre health plan that's maybe a high deductible. That person, if they're 65 or older and is Medicare eligible, they very often should look into Medicare plans, because it very well may be the case that they can lower their premiums, drop their group plan, and have better coverage in the Medicare system.
Gotcha. So even if you're working, you need to be looking at what your plan offerings are through your work.
Definitely.
And comparing them to the offerings that might come from Medicare, premiums, everything else, to decide which side you should go on.
Absolutely.
Okay. Gotcha. Now, so, I mean, we've got all of these different plans. I mean, I feel like it's a little bit of alphabet soup, to me at least, of different types of plans. Explain what all these different things are, because I think it's easy for, you know, if I'm confused, I'm guaranteeing that there are other people confused out there as well. And they're trying to, you know, sift through this and decide what they need or want.
Absolutely. So the important thing to know is that the only thing that the federal government provides to the person is Medicare Part A and B. That's the only thing the federal government provides. Everything else that they get is from a private insurance company. So Part A, if they did absolutely nothing at all and they just got their Medicare Part A and B, their Part A would cover their inpatient hospital stays. However, on day one, there's a deductible of $1,340 in 2018. That would cover them up to day 60, but if they were in the hospital longer, they would pay a $335 copay days 61 through 90, and then a $670 copay days 90 through 150, which are their lifetime reserve days. And then after that, they don't have coverage anymore. So if you were in there on Medicare Part A past day 150, the federal government doesn't cover that person once those
Completely on you.
Completely on the person. They're up to paying the hospital directly. And just the number of copays that adds up to, you know, is over $50,000 in copays that while they're being covered by Medicare, and then it's on that person's responsibility.
So let me make sure that I'm following you here. So day one, I've got something where it's like $1,100.
$1,340
out of pocket. Deductible.
Correct.
Then after a certain period of time, every day during that next period, I'm paying what, like $600?
So it's $335 days 61 through 90, and then $670 days 90 through 150.
And that's every single day you're paying that amount.
That's
gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha. So that's where you're coming up with the $50,000 that,
correct.
Okay, so you know I'm in the hospital for 150 days. I could be out of pocket $50,000 if all I have is Part A.
Correct. And then they do not have coverage covered by Medicare at that point. They're paying the hospital directly on their own.
Okay. So I don't like that answer. What can I do to make that answer better for my pocketbook?
Yeah, definitely. So there's probably just to finish up on the A and B side too, and then we can kind of get into the extra coverages. Part B, so is really the things outside of the hospital. So going to a regular doctor, getting an outpatient surgery. Medicare Part B covers 80% of the bill, and then the person is responsible for 20% of the bill. However, there's what's called Part B excess charges, where the doctors and hospitals can, or outpatient facilities can, legally charge 15% above the Medicare reimbursement rate. So the person can get a bill for 20% plus an additional 15% under Medicare Part B. And so, as you're kind of alluding to, that leaves them with a lot of exposure. There's no cap on that amount. They can essentially pay,
right?
They can pay tens of thousands of dollars, if not more, out of pocket with no cap if they just had Medicare A and B. So you really want to get something that has additional coverage or capture costs in some other way. So we can kind of get into the differences between those additional benefits.
Sure, sure. So just to kind of clarify A and B, and then after the break, we'll get into all of these other, you know, alphabet soup stuff. But so Part A covers your hospital stays. Part B covers your going to see your doctor, that kind of stuff.
Right.
How do they work together? So I'm in a car accident, I have a stroke, I fall, break my hip, whatever it might be, and I'm in the hospital for a period of time. How do A and B work together if they do?
They're kind of just really billed all to Medicare. So they're covering you for hospital and outpatient care directly. But all the bills essentially are going to the federal government. So the federal government is, you know, paying that doctor's visit. They're paying that hospital stay. So they're working in conjunction with each other. It's just that inpatient hospital is billed under Part A and Part B is billed for outpatient visits, doctor's visits, et cetera.
Gotcha. But I've got quite a bit of exposure if I'm reading what you're saying right, if all I have is the A and the B.
Absolutely. That's
okay.
Right.
All right. Well, when I come back from the break here, I'm going to take a break. I want to talk more about, you know, how do we get rid of some of that exposure? Because, you know, truthfully, part of what I do is try to help clients, you know, get rid of exposure to risks. And a big risk as we get older is healthcare. And so we want to try to mitigate that risk however we want to do that. But if people have questions for you, Brett, how can they get in touch with you to ask you some more of these questions or even sit down with you and find out what plans are out there and available as we get into this enrollment period?
Sure. Yeah. They're welcome to call me. My phone number is 303-818-4893. They're also feel free to send me an email to brettpadilla@me.com. And that's Brett with one T. So it's brettpadilla@me.com. I'm also, you can find me on LinkedIn. You can look up my Facebook page, Brett A. Padilla, Medicare and Health Insurance Agent. So they can find me in out there. I also keep a personal website, brettpadilla.com, which has some of my bio information as well.
Gotcha. So give us that phone number one more time for anybody who is scrambling to go write it down.
Yeah, definitely. It's 303-818-4893.
All right. So after the break, we're going to continue our discussion talking about Medicare. In particular, we're going to talk about how can we mitigate the risk that comes with only having Part A and Part B. So stick around.
This is the Estate Planning and Elder Law Hour with Skip Reynolds, where we dive into wills, trust, powers of attorney, and so much more. Now here's your host, Skip Reynolds.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Estate Planning and Elder Law Hour with me, Skip Reynolds. Thanks so much for joining me this Saturday afternoon. Hopefully you're having a great day so far. So this is the second segment of our show, and today I have on with me Brett Padilla, who is an insurance broker who specializes in Medicare. And in the first segment of the show, we were kind of talking a little bit about what is Medicare, and we kind of ended talking about, you know, Part A and Part B. We hear all of these alphabet soup things, and we were talking about how Part A and Part B can really leave you pretty exposed to a lot of costs coming out of your own pocket if that's all you have. So if you missed any part of that show, you can go to the EZ1430 website. You can click on shows, then look for the weekend programming, and then you can click on the Estate Planning and Elder Law Hour. Or you can go to my website, skiptonlaw.com. That's SKIPTONlaw.com. Click on blogs. You'll have a drop down for the radio show with this show and past shows and a little description of what each show is about if you wanted to listen to other topics. So to continue our discussion with Brett, you know, again, it's the alphabet soup, but one of the things that I've heard, and feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, is, you know, Part A and Part B, you kind of get automatically once you enroll in it. But I think of everything else as a supplemental policy. Is that actually the case, or how does this C, D, E, F, G, H, whatever letters they are, how do those actually work, and am I right in thinking they're supplements?
Right. So a lot of people get the supplements confused with Medicare Advantage plans. And so they're very different policies and different structures. So Medicare supplements, if people want additional coverage, which most people should have some type of additional coverage due to the exposure that we were talking about, if somebody wants additional coverage, they have really two different paths that they can go down down onto. So option number one is to do a Medicare supplement policy. Now, the just the term supplement, you know, really means in addition to, right?
So so it's not C or D or E or F or whatever those
that's
are.
Right. Exactly right. So you have Medicare as your primary insurance. So when you go into the doctor, you're the doctor is billing 80% of the bill to Medicare, to the federal government. The federal government's actually paying that to, directly to the doctor. Then they're essentially, if they're doing a supplement, they're paying a premium to a private insurance company to be a secondary payer on top of that. And so they're billed some portion or maybe that full other 20% plus any excess charges to that supplement carrier. So that's only from a private insurance company getting billed secondarily after Medicare.
So that's not my Part C or D or E or F. That is something completely different then.
That's correct. Okay. Yes. And these are where all of the lettered plans, so people will get mail from all the companies out there and they'll get supplement plan A, supplement plan B, but those are not Medicare A and B. Those are supplement plan A and B. And so all these letters, so K and L and N and F and G, those are all the supplement plans. And all of those are standardized for the United States. So plan F with one carrier is the exact same coverage as plan F with another carrier. But those are going to cover more and over and above what Medicare provides to them. If they're on plan F or plan G, those are the richest coverage supplements. So the person that is on plan F, that plan F is covering that other 20% that is usually billed to the person.
Of the A and the B.
Exactly okay. Right. Yep. And then any excess charges is also covered by plan F as well. So they're essentially 100% covered. They have really the best coverage in all of healthcare. They're not going to get a bill. So they go into the hospital, they go into the doctor, they have chemotherapy treatment all year. They're not going to get a bill from the doctors. Medicare is covering 80, Plan F is picking up the rest of the coverage. Now there's a higher premium due to that. Plan F and G are the best coverages, but they're also the more expensive ends of the coverages as well.
So you're paying more out of pocket every single month, but
correct.
They're giving you more above and beyond Part A and Part B.
Right. So the way I'd kind of like to characterize it is the person that, you know, just wants full peace of mind and wants to pay a monthly premium that's mid-hundreds or, you know, depending on their age, it can get up into the $200 per month range. They're paying that monthly premium every month, but then they don't get a copay. They don't have a coinsurance billed back to them. They have peace of mind knowing that they're not going to get a bill. So the person that wants, that can afford that, some people can't, that's a good option for them to cover their medical. That doesn't sure. cover any medications or drugs. That's
just
separate.
Going to see the just, doctor or the hospital or something like that.
Exactly right.
Okay.
And all the plans are different. So, you know, the person may investigate. Plan N, for example, is a good middle range supplement plan. Some carriers also will allow them to be on a lower middle range plan, like a plan N, and they will allow them to change mid-year also to a plan F. With no underwriting. So every carrier is a little bit different as far as that goes, but we can get into the weeds on that, but that's essentially, they have a lot of options in that space.
Okay. So I mean, you talked a little bit, was it E and F or F and G?
Yeah, F and G are the richest coverage of the supplements. So of all those lettered supplement plans, F and G tend to be the most popular ones. Usually you're kind of on that or you're looking at Medicare Advantage if you're not wanting to be on F and G, the better coverage of the supplement
yeah.
plan.
So if maybe you can't stomach the $200 or whatever it might be a month for those extra premiums, you know, what are your options?
Right. So I'll kind of finish up on that option one side because I think it makes a little more sense mentally. So just to wrap up, the Medicare supplement policy and Medicare does not cover any medications at all. And so if that person is on a Medicare and a supplement, in order to get their prescriptions covered, they would also enroll onto a standalone Part D drug plan. And so Medicare Part D is only available from private insurance carriers. And so that comes with a separate premium to it. So they're paying a monthly premium to the insurance carrier. But then they have prescription drug coverage. And that'll vary by plan. And there's different deductibles and copays for everything. But that person is really on that track where they have supplement and Part D as separate policies.
Gotcha. So, I mean, let's say I'm somebody who wants to make sure that every time I go to the doctor, because I'm going a lot for whatever reasons, health-wise, and I'm on a number of different prescriptions, it might be a good idea to have that F and G and Part D, potentially.
Yeah, absolutely. Generally, the prescription side of it, you know, it doesn't vary a lot between the Medicare Advantage plans, which we'll get to, and the standalone Part D plans. But the person that has very severe chronic illnesses, and so I have clients that, you know, have severe rheumatoid arthritis and they're getting Remicade infusions every 6 weeks for the rest of their life. Those infusions are extremely expensive. They know it's going to cost them a lot of money. That person really should be on the better coverage supplements plans, F and G, and really they're not going to have any copay or coinsurance for those infusions. But then their Part D and their prescriptions that they go get from the pharmacy, those are covered under the Part D plan.
Gotcha. So typically they're not paying much, if anything, for those prescriptions.
Hopefully, yeah, if they're not on many expensive drugs. Right?
Gotcha. And then, you know, the F and G is I'm going to see the doctor a lot, or I want that peace of mind.
Absolutely.
So I don't have to, you know, write a copay or a big deductible every single year.
Yep, yep. All the Part A costs that we talked about, the over 50,000 exposure that you have on just being on Medicare, that's all gone. The supplement is coming in and picking up those costs.
Gotcha. So, I mean, you've made mention to it a number of times. What is Medicare Advantage? I mean, I'm not sure how that is different than F and G and everything else. Explain the differences and why somebody might choose one versus the other.
Yeah, definitely. So when you're on F and G or the supplements and a standalone Part D, keep in mind that Medicare is your primary insurance. So every time you go to the doctor is billing the federal government for, you know, 80% of the bill. The other option is Medicare Part C, which is Medicare Advantage. So a lot of people kind of know, hey, there's Medicare A and B and there's Part D. What is C? C is Medicare Advantage. What Medicare Advantage is you're electing to go with a private insurance carrier to combine all of your benefits in one private health plan to where that private insurance company is your sole and primary insurance. So it's combining everything that you get covered under Medicare A and B. By law, the plans have to cover everything that Medicare covers. So everything A and B covers, but then it includes the drug plans, the Part D coverages inside the plan. And then we'll cover additional benefits and coverages, add things like gym memberships, et cetera, add prevention, add maybe hearing and vision coverage to it. And then cap the costs also, which is the most important part of everything we're talking about here. So it's more simplified and or capped cost for them, but it's all underneath that private insurance carrier. So when they're going into the doctor's only billing that insurance carrier. That carrier is actually getting paid by Medicare on the back end. So the person never sees that transaction happen, but Medicare is paying that insurance carrier a flat monthly rate each and every month to be that person's insurance. And so the way I like to say it is Medicare is really outsourcing the risk and the cost of covering them to that insurance carrier. So Medicare pays them and then they're out of the picture.
Yeah, they're not probably paying them as much as if you were just on A and B.
Yeah, you know, there's that's kind of more in the actuarial weeds for sure. But the way I'd kind of like to say it is that, you know, they're paying them a flat monthly rate. The insurance carrier is agreeing to that rate and then structuring the plans. And definitely if somebody's really sick, and has hospital stays, et cetera, that carrier is going to lose money on that individual from what the government pays them. If they're pretty healthy and they're only going a couple visits a year, the insurance carrier will make money. And long and short, they're structuring the plan so that, you know, they'll make money at the end of the day. The benefit to the person, though, is that most of those plans are going to be low to no premium. So there's what's called the zero premium Medicare Advantage plans where the individual doesn't have to pay a monthly premium to the insurance carrier because Medicare is essentially paying them on the back end and they make enough money with what they get on the back end from Medicare that they don't have to charge the individual any more money. So the person that, you know, has a fixed income and, you know, is struggling to get by, that's a really good option for them because they're paying no additional premium for it. They're getting additional benefits and their costs are capped if they do have a bad circumstance.
Gotcha. So let's say I'm on Medicare Advantage. Now, typically with Part A and Part B, you're seeing that deducted automatically out of your Social Security, that 134 or whatever you said it was earlier,
you got it.
Or something higher, and we can get into that here in a minute. But if I'm on Medicare Advantage, is that still happening? or how is the, if I have a premium, if I'm not on the plan you just were talking about, how am I paying that premium? Is it coming out of my Social Security? Is nothing coming out of my Social Security? Everything's coming out of my pocket? How does that work?
Yeah, good question. So, and to kind of recap, so the 134 Part B premium, everybody has to pay that premium. You'll essentially pay that premium the rest of your life to be in the Medicare system. So regardless of whether you go on to a Medicare supplement policy or a Medicare Advantage plan, you're always paying that Part B premium. So it's always going to come out of their Social Security benefits, or they're going to be paying it directly. And then the additional premiums for supplements, anything else really that's going to a private insurance carrier, they're going to set up with that company directly to pay them. So if they do have a premium for a Medicare Advantage plan, they'll pay that directly, or for the supplements directly.
Now, can you have it pulled from your Social Security? I swear that I've seen on clients when we're sitting down in particular looking at Medicaid or whatever, that there's more coming out of their Social Security that's covering these extra plans.
Definitely, yeah. So they can elect to actually have that come out of their Social Security. So you'll see the different lines on the statements. And one will be for the Part B premium, and then they'll have, a Part D or Medicare Advantage premium line, essentially, that they can be paying it out of Social Security.
Gotcha. So they got the choice, take it directly out of their Social Security check that's deposited every month, or they can, pay it themselves however they decide to pay that.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So, let's talk a little bit about, why would somebody choose, the F and the G's and the D's versus a Medicare Advantage plan? What are you seeing when you're sitting down with people as to why they might be choosing one versus the other?
Yeah, definitely. So Medicare Advantage plans, they're typically going to be HMO programs. So they will have a network of doctors, and you do have to stay within that network. So, they have to make sure their doctors are in the network, and then they may need referrals to specialists from that from the primary care physician that they're with. So that's one thing is, network restriction. Medicare, if you're on Medicare in the supplement, Medicare is fee-for-service, which means that there's no network. You can't go look at a list and say that doctor takes Medicare. It's really up to the doctor, essentially on a month-to-month basis. One doctor can decide the next month they don't want to take Medicare anymore. So it's fee for service. So essentially, they can go to any doctor that will agree to take that fee for service. The government essentially just says, we're going to pay the doctor X amount for that visit, take it or leave it. And the doctor can say, okay, I'll take Medicare and I'll take that fee for the service. So to some extent, it is flexible to where the person that maybe lives in Colorado part of the year and then travels to Arizona for part of the year, and they want to be covered both places and they want to go to doctors in both places, the supplement's a pretty good idea for them to be on because they can go as long as the doctors are accepting Medicare. So it's very flexible as far as that's concerned. And then if they have network restrictions, so some people have doctors that, aren't in the Medicare Advantage networks. So that can be one thing. Now, as far as a cost perspective, generally speaking, I would say most people are tending to lean on the Medicare Advantage side just because the value of the policies are pretty good for a low to no premium. So the person that, is fairly healthy and they're going to 3, 4, 5 maintenance visits a year and doing their prevention and blood work, that person's going to save more money, for that year on the Medicare Advantage plan side because they're paying zero premium and, maybe a $10 copay to their doctor and a $50 copay to their specialist. And then that's it. They're covered. And they are covered for, the hospitalization or if they had a surgery, maybe they're paying a $295 copay and the surgery's covered. There is an annual out-of-pocket maximum on the bid. And then there is an annual out-of-pocket maximum on those plans too. So maybe they have a $4,400 annual out-of-pocket maximum to where they're not paying a dime over that and the carrier will pick that up. So the very healthy person will save more money throughout the year on the Medicare Advantage plan side. If you're very sick and you have those severe chronic illnesses we talked about, that person, has some expensive treatment going, they're more likely to save money on the supplement side. But then it also comes down to, you as an individual and peace of mind, right? And insurance is all risk-based. And so the person that just says, hey, I have the money, I don't care about the premium. The premium for the supplement is low to me. I just want the peace of mind knowing I'll never get a bill. that person likes to tend to go on the Medicare supplement side just for the peace of mind, knowing that they're essentially 100% covered if they're on the best plan there.
Gotcha. So it just kind of comes down to personal preference and risk tolerance or
right.
risk avoidance or aversion or whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I want to kind of take a break here and then we'll come back and we'll talk about hospital visits and we'll talk about, you know, how our income can affect these premiums that come out of our Social Security. But how can people get in touch with you, Brett, if they've got questions about their plan or maybe they're looking at signing up or they're looking at potentially changing their plan because they didn't like it last year?
Yeah, definitely. So I'll give my phone number here in a second. So if you're grabbing a pen, but they can email me at brettpadilla@me.com. So that's Brett with one T. So brettpadilla@me.com. They can also phone me at 303-818-4893. And you can also find me on LinkedIn, Facebook. I have a personal website, brettpadilla.com as well.
Gotcha. And what's the phone number again?
303-818-4893.
All right. So when we come back, we'll continue our discussion talking about Medicare. In particular, we're going to kind of get into, you know, what happens if we have to go into the hospital and what's the difference between inpatient and outpatient and how that affects all of these different coverages. So stick around.
This is the Estate Planning and Elder Law Hour with Skip Reynolds, where we dive into wills, trust, powers of attorney, and so much more. Now here's your host, Skip Reynolds.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Estate Planning and Elder Law Hour with me, Skip Reynolds. Thanks so much for joining me this Saturday afternoon. Really do appreciate you listening. Today's show, this is our third segment. We've been talking about Medicare. I've got Brett Padilla here, who's a licensed insurance broker that specializes in Medicare. And in the first segment, we were talking about what is Part A, what is Part B, what does it cover, what does it not cover, what does that look like out of pocket for somebody potentially. And then in the second segment, we were talking about supplemental plans, Medicare Advantage, you know, why would one person choose one versus the other, et cetera. If you miss any of those parts of the show, you can go to the Easy 1430 website, click on Shows, Weekend Programming, and look for the Estate Planning and Elder Law Hour. Or you can go to my website, skiptonlaw.com, click on blogs, and it'll drop down and have the radio tab right there. So, you know, as we finished off, Brett, we were kind of talking about different supplemental plans. And during the break, we were talking a little bit about Part D in particular, which I think, if correct me if I'm wrong, is the prescriptions, right?
Right.
So I've heard of this, but tell me what it is. The donut hole, what does that mean?
Yeah, so that's probably one of the most common questions that I get, and a lot of people, especially with high prescription costs, worry about is the Medicare Part D donut hole. So it's important to know, you know, Part D is really optional. So people don't have to enroll into it, but Medicare kind of encourages them to enroll. And the way they do that is you accrue a penalty, what's called a Part D late enrollment penalty. So if you don't enroll onto Part D, when you turn 65 and get Medicare, every month that you're not on it, you're accruing a penalty every month. And so the person that, you know, has zero prescription costs, maybe they're not on any medication, if they're on that supplement route, they're paying a higher premium just to be on the Part D. That may or may not make sense for them. If you don't have prescription costs and you're on the Medicare Advantage, you're kind of getting it built into that plan, integrated in, usually at that low or no premium. And so that's kind of more ideal for the person with no prescription costs because it's built in. But everybody kind of is worried, and you hear it talked a lot about in the media, it's changed over time, is this donut hole or the coverage gap. And so the best way to explain it is, I mean, Medicare sets these numbers for every plan. And so it's the same for every single carrier out there. It's set by the government every year. And what it really means is that you can pay a different amount for the same medication that you're getting throughout the year, and it can change. That amount can vary through the year. So really, there's kind of four different buckets of coverage. And the initial bucket, you may have a deductible. So let's say you have a $200 medication that you're getting that retails for $200. Maybe the deductible's $200 to make it easy, you know. So the first month that person goes and gets it, even on coverage, they're paying $200
for it. Cutting a $200 check. Okay.
Exactly. Then they hit that initial coverage stage to where they have coverage, but maybe it's a copay that they're paying for it. So the plan is actually paying for it, but maybe they're paying a $47 copay for that $200 medication. Now, the numbers are changing every year. The government sets these, but if their total prescription costs for the year in 2018 reached $3,750 for the year, then they hit what's called the coverage gap or the donut hole. And so keep in mind that's the cost of the medication, $3,715. So that's the $200 cost. So they wouldn't hit it under just that one medication. They'd have to have, you know, several
multiple
medications. Now, if they do hit that coverage gap or the donut hole, it used to be when Medicare Part D was first implemented that they had no coverage. They had to pay the full $200 cost. So
after they hit the 30 whatever hundred.
Right. And it used to be different numbers, but so that person that has, you know, $600-$800 in medication costs, which I do see, they would be completely out of pocket. Now, that was when it started. It's not as bad anymore. It's really not much of a gap anymore, but they still call it the coverage gap or donut hole. So how it works today is that they pay 35% of the cost of the drug. And so 65% of the cost of the medication is still covered at that point. It's just that they're going to pay a different amount. So they actually have coverage, but, you know, for that $200 medication, they're paying $70, 35% of $200 at that point. So they're paying more than what their copay would have been. The other thing is the drug companies are supposed to actually lower the cost of the drug when they hit the coverage gap, so it gets a little convoluted. But that lasts up until either January 1st, all the numbers go back to zero, they start at square one, or if they hit what's called the catastrophic coverage stage, that's where they've paid out-of-pocket $5,000 in costs, and then they get more help. 95% of the medication is covered, and they only pay 5%.
Now, is that if I'm just on Part D? What if I have Medicare Advantage?
So it's all the same, actually. So the Medicare Advantage integrates the Part D coverage into the plan, but all of these numbers are the same for the integrated Part D coverage in Medicare Advantage or for the standalone. So it doesn't matter which company you're with. These are kind of numbers set by Medicare every year and mandated down to the plans. But it is important to know that in the law, it's been passed that through the Affordable Care Act that the coverage gap is supposed to narrow and close by 2020. So theoretically, in 2020, there won't be this kind of convoluted gap system. It'll just be, you know, one set of copays, theoretically. But we'll see how that changes. The government changes things year to year.
Sure, yeah, they get rid of that. So just so I'm understanding, if I've got really expensive prescriptions, whether I'm on Advantage, whether I'm on Part D, there will be a point if I go over, what was it,
$3,750
in costs.
In costs. Right.
To me or in costs total,
total
for the prescription.
Yep. So
what
you've
got
paid,
those $800 prescriptions a month, I'm going to hit that, you know, 4 or 5 months into the year.
Correct.
And so now I'm going to have to start paying some out of pocket in this quote unquote donut hole.
Exactly. So you would go up to paying a 35% of the cost of the medication. So, you know, that can really be a lot more than what you were paying before. So a lot of times people will call me middle of the year and say, hey, my costs, the amount to me has gone way up. What's going on? Well, it's almost always they've hit the coverage gap in that situation.
Gotcha. So, but then if they hit another threshold, it starts to decrease yet again.
And right.
The threshold was like 5,000 out of pocket.
Out of pocket, correct. So they're never really 100% capped. They're always going to pay 5% through the end of the year. And so some of those people that have very expensive cancer medications, you know, they'll pay a good amount of money out of pocket even throughout the entire year.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's kind of switch gears and talk a little bit about hospitals. You know, tell me the difference, you know, inpatient versus outpatient. You hear these things in the media and through other sources that, you know, if they check you in inpatient, this is what's going to happen. But sometimes the hospitals seem to be playing fast and loose and they never check you in inpatient. And so you're always out of patient and that affects the coverage under Medicare.
Yeah, it definitely does. So, you know, it'll really, it won't matter as much to the person that does have the supplement coverage or the Advantage plan coverage because, you know, that's going to be covering it one way or the other. But for the person that just has Medicare Part A and B, which obviously isn't advised with all the other plans available, it really does matter for that person that is inpatient because then you're under Part A. But if you went to an emergency room and you're still considered outpatient, those costs are billed under Part B. So they're billing two different entities. Now, you know, for the person that has supplemental coverage or Advantage plan coverage, they're covered either way. The Advantage plans will still cover it differently, however. So inpatient is definitely considered a separate set of copays from, you know, an emergency room visit, which will usually just be like a flat $80 copay, as an example, on a lot of plans. And so it does vary a little bit, but inpatient will usually be a higher cost on Advantage.
Gotcha. So really, what I read from that is, if all you have is Part A and Part B, you're pretty exposed.
Absolutely.
Inpatient or outpatient. Mm-hmm. You know, inpatient, you're exposed because of the way, as we talked in the first segment about how they can, you know, bill you out and how you can effectively have up to a $50,000 or more dollar bill. Right. But if you're outpatient, they're not covering anything.
Yeah, one big thing to be aware of, I mean, the person that goes in to the emergency room, just having Medicare, I mean, Medicare is only covering 80% of that bill, and then they're going to get a bill for 20% plus potentially an additional 15%. And that's really tough when somebody goes to the emergency room, because there's multiple entities billing you. They may have lab tests, they have the facility charges, they have the doctor's charges. And so often people will find when they go into the emergency room, they get 4, 5, 6 different statements from all these different entities that they didn't even know. Whereas if they were on, and then they have to pay 20%, you know, of all of those costs.
Plus whatever markup those entities might have put, which can be up to 50%.
The excess, exactly right. So now if they were on an Advantage plan, all those bills are going to the Advantage plan company, and then they're just paying a flat copay. And so it's a much more simplified, they're much more capped, less exposure. Or if they have the supplemental coverage, then if they're on the better coverage ones, they're 100% covered anyway, so they're not going to get all these 5 or 6 entities billing them at the same time.
Gotcha. So, I mean, the long and short is, don't just have A and B.
Yeah,
you
got to
have something else,
absolutely,
whatever that might be. So explain to me, you know, in my world, we talk a lot about, because a lot of the people that I deal with on the elder law side of my practice are, you know, they fell and they broke their hip and they're in the hospital and then they're going to rehab and, you know, all of these other things. And you hear this stuff about 100 days. What is that 100 days and how does that work during the 100 days?
Well, so the skilled nursing facility coverage in Medicare is set by Medicare, and it's 100 days long. And so that's really inpatient rehab. So they're in a skilled nursing facility. You know, it's pretty rare for somebody to be in there 100 days. Usually, you know, under Medicare, the first 20 days are completely covered. And so
Part A and Part B you're talking about.
Part A and Part B, and most of the plans, you'll see if you look at the Medicare Advantage plans, they kind of mirror what Medicare covers, you know. So most of the time, they don't have any out-of-pocket exposure within those 20 days. And I have friends in the skilled nursing industry, et cetera, and colleagues, and they're pretty cognizant, actually, when they have somebody that's on a Medicare-based plan or in Medicare. They're really trying to get them out of there within 20 days. They don't really want to keep them in there. And then maybe they're transitioning to outpatient rehab, you know, a daily hour visit or something to that effect. So, but you're correct. There's 100 days skilled nursing coverage. Now, after that, then they're on outpatient care and maybe they're going, you know, a few times a week to outpatient rehab. And that's just kind of it's case by case and how long that might be for somebody.
Gotcha. And so let's say you stay in the nursing home. Many people think Medicare, especially kids, think Medicare is going to cover it for mom and dad. Does it?
No, absolutely not. Medicare does not cover long-term care. So that's really the difference between skilled nursing facility and long-term care. And so long-term care, I think, is definitely more in your world where you would kind of know how to navigate that. But Medicare does not cover those long-term care scenarios. Medicaid will. So if you're low income, there's, you know, spend down programs, et cetera, and you can probably talk about that, but Medicare does not.
Gotcha. So Medicare pays for the doctors, but it doesn't pay for the rehab up to a certain point, and then it cuts off.
Correct. That's right.
Gotcha. So, you know, Brett, we've covered a lot of topics here today. It might have brought up more questions for the listeners out there. If they have questions or if they want to sit down with you as this enrollment period starts up here in October, how can they get in touch with you and how do you sit down and work with people?
Yeah, definitely. So I would just encourage people, you know, as you investigate Medicare, work with a local agent. It doesn't matter what plan you go with. You know, you want to have somebody locally to talk to and work with. That way, if you have problems moving forward, You know, like myself, I have upline managers that I can get certain issues to. But yeah, they can, you know, feel free to give me a call. They can email me at brettpadilla@me.com. That's brettpadilla@me.com. They can reach me by phone at 303-818-4893. And they can look me up on LinkedIn and Facebook as well. And I do carry a personal website. They can find more information about me at brettpadilla.com.
Hey, Brett, I really appreciate you being on here. I know I learned a lot. I hope everybody out there learned a lot about how these different coverages work, why I should consider one plan versus the other. I really appreciate you being on with
me. Thank you so much for having me, Skip. It was a great time. Thank you.
Absolutely. So I want to remind everybody out there as I close up the show here for this Saturday afternoon, I do public workshops. Now, I don't talk about Medicare. I do talk about Medicaid, and I talk about wills and trusts and powers of attorney. If you would like to come to one of those public workshops, my next one is coming up on Thursday, September the 20th. So this coming Thursday, from 10 a.m. to noon, it is at the Lone Tree, the South Glen Library, which is at the streets at South Glen, kind of near Arapahoe and University area. If you'd like to attend that, there's two ways that you can attend. You can go to my website, skiptonlaw.com, click on workshops, and you can sign up for that workshop or any of the future workshops if maybe the 20th doesn't work for you. Or you can call my office at 720-440-2774, and Stacy will get you signed up. Reminder, if you come to the workshop and you want to sit down with me, review your current plan, start a new plan, start a plan because you've never done one, you will get an hour and a half of my time by coming to the workshop and saying you want to meet with me to sit down and start planning that vision for you and your estate plan. So if you want to sign up, go to the website or you can call my office again at 720-440-2774. So I want to thank Brett for being here again.
Thank you very much.
And I want to thank all of you out there for listening. Hopefully you have a great rest of your Saturday, a great rest of your weekend, and a fantastic week. I can't wait to talk to you next Saturday. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Estate Planning and Elder Law Hour with Skip Reynolds. Tune in next week where we talk about some great new topics. This is the Estate Planning and Elder Law Hour with Skip Reynolds. That's every Saturday from 2 to 3 on Cruisin' 1430. Skipton Reynolds is a licensed attorney in Colorado. All of the stories and content of the Estate Planning and Elder Law Hour are not intended to be direct legal advice. They are for illustrative purposes only. Additionally, no attorney-client privilege has been performed with the law office of Skipton Reynolds, LLC, or Skipton Reynolds, Esquire. One should seek legal counsel before making any estate planning or elder law decisions. All of the views of the guests of the show are their own and are not views of the law office of Skipton Reynolds, LLC, or Skipton Reynolds, Esquire, nor is their appearance an endorsement of goods or services by the law offices of Skipton Reynolds, LLC, or Skipton Reynolds, Esquire.